Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Host on host violence. Bart Scott in this morning for J. Will, calling the Cowboys soft, dumb, front runners, and cowards, except for the team that Key played on when he was in Dallas. He's going to take that one away.
He said they were soft, but I wasn't. So I'm, you know.
No doubt.
I think I knocked Larry Sanders out or something that day.
No, Larry Sanders wasn't there with me.
Oh, Larry. Who was that tailback? Y'all had an old school tailback that was good for years. He played like more fullback and tailback.
Eddie George?
Nah, man. I'm talking about in Dallas.
Eddie played with me in Dallas.
Hey, Eddie played in Dallas.
Eddie played with me. It was Eddie George.
Those Eddie George are Lost Files.
It was Jones. It was Jones. What was his first name? Julius Jones. Yeah. That was the only two backs.
Y'all had an old
Marion Barber.
Yeah, no, he.
I wasn't there.
Yeah, you weren't there. Yeah, okay.
And right now, I think it's fair to say the Cowboys, they're not all there either, obviously. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. J. Will back tomorrow. The Cowboys, a two-win team. They do sit in first place in the NFC East. Coming up this morning on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, if you're a hockey fan, 9 minutes away from Mike Doc Emmerich, who is retiring as the voice of the National Hockey League, 22 Stanley Cups, one of the greatest announcers in sports history. Mm-hmm. And speaking of greatest, I think a lot of times we just sit there, and this is the radio, I'm kind of new to this format, it's all speculation, it's all talk, but sometimes there's some really great reporting that is done. And I've got to tip my cap to the Detroit Free Press for pointing out this nugget on Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh, who of course was the head coach of the 49ers and frankly has been able to build every single program he's ever been at, whether it's non-scholarship San Diego,
yes,
whether it's Stanford, 41-point underdog to Keys USC Trojans. Biggest upset of the decade.
Oh, God.
Taking the 49ers to the Super Bowl, turning around Alex Smith, getting there with Colin Kaepernick. And obviously, whatever Michigan fans say.
Man, I can't believe we lost that damn game. Another Pete Carroll deal. Oh, well, move along.
You might remember Stanford was a 41-point underdog and knocked off Keys Trojans that day. What's your deal, man?
What's your deal?
That was the old post-game handshake between Pete Carroll and Jim Harbaugh. So listen to this great piece of reporting from the Detroit Free Press. Jim Harbaugh, according to the Detroit Free Press, enters 2020, and remember, Michigan starts their season this weekend, Minnesota-Michigan College game day in the house Saturday morning in the Great Lakes. Okay, 2020, he enters with contract uncertainty. Jim Harbaugh is the only Power 5 coach. There are 64 teams in the Power 5, the big leagues. He's the only dude with less than 2 years left on his deal, and Harbaugh confirmed Monday he still hasn't signed a contract extension, and that's why he's the only guy, not quite lame duck, but pretty darn close relative to the other coaches.
Pacers is growing thin in Detroit.
Yeah, it is, but also, where would you rather be?
If you're Jim Harbaugh?
If you're Jim Harbaugh.
Well, that's where the discussion is now.
And that's why when I brought this up several days ago, people's like, man, you don't know what you're... No, I do know what I'm talking about. And no one's told me this. But you can see it if you're following college football and pro football. You can see he can't beat Ohio State. He can't win the big ones. It's all this money for some tan khakis on the sideline. People getting tired of that in Michigan, yep, much like my man is saying, Bart is saying. So you go back to the NFL. Mm. You find the right general manager to partner with. And you put it in a certain type of perspective where you don't get caught into the Trent Baalke, I want control, I'm Hill Harbaugh, I took it to the Super Bowl. You don't get caught up in that anymore. You learned your lesson already. Now you come back and you take over one of these dying programs that really, one of these organizations that want you to ride in on a white horse and save the day, because he can't do it from a pro standpoint. Pro football players will respect a guy who did it as a player, but also as a coach to a degree. And it's not that difficult. If I'm a Jerry Jones or I'm the Jets.
Tiss Merrill.
Joe Douglas.
Joe Douglas and Mr. Johnson.
No, that wouldn't work.
I'm getting on the plane. And I'm going to meet him secretly somewhere outside of Ann Arbor at the time the season goes on. And we're going to have a conversation about what will it take.
He sucks the air out of the room, man.
That's fine. I'll deal with it for 4 to 5 years. I don't give a damn. I'm a billionaire. I got all this money. The one thing I don't have is a Super Bowl ring. So when I go to West Palm Beach and I go to the meetings with all the rest of the owners and they're walking around with their suits on and their little shiny rings and I got to sit over there in the corner like a little boy. No, I'm going to pay what it takes to get the coach that I think can get it done. And I firmly believe that Harbaugh back in the NFL gets it done. Much like you said, San Diego, Stanford, and San Francisco. And if he wears out the welcome, oh well.
But it'd be a couple of years, though, because he's a guy that he would have to strip this whole roster down because it's a certain way he likes to go about winning.
No, I'm not saying necessarily just the Jets. I'm just talking about
I was talking about
teams
Dallas.
That's available.
I was talking about Dallas. I mean, I think if you want to go into pro ranks, like we've been there, done that, we've seen that, and you know, I think the narrative follows him. You know, I've been around the Harbaugh family for a long time, even going against playing against his dad, down in Western Kentucky.
Jack,
right? Yeah, Jack down in Western Kentucky. I played for John. I know Jim for a long time. Helped him with some recruiting. Helped him get a couple players. There to help the program out. I think his dream job was the Michigan job because he loved Bo Schembechler. That was his.
Yeah, you went to school here.
And I think he doesn't. It doesn't sit well with him the fact that he hasn't been able to beat Ohio State. And I think he wants to try and get that done. And he wants to leave the program in a better place than
he's
what
a pro
he
coach
got
though.
Yeah,
he's
I got
a pro
it. Coach. But see, the thing is about that act wears thin. The reason why I thought that he would be better for college was the fact that every time players get sick of your crap, they graduate. Opposed to the pros, where it runs thin after a while and it takes a lot of energy and sucks a lot of oxygen out of the building because he wants so much control. So, has he learned his lesson is what we have to ask, because if he goes to Dallas, then he's going to have to play well in the sandbox with
Bart,
others and not have all the control.
For me, Bart, the situation in San Francisco went south because the ownership group, the management, and Trent Baalke and him didn't see eye to eye.
Right.
It wasn't the players. He basically benched Alex Smith for a guy in Colin Kaepernick that led him to
the
Super Bowl.
That's the best player play.
So. He had great linebackers, although Singletary had something to do with help picking those players. He just didn't coach them up. Harbaugh came in and got the most out of those guys. I'm just saying, man, as a coach, whether he burns out in 5 years, I'm willing to take that chance. Because if you just take the New York Jets situation, forget that. Take the Dallas Cowboys situation for a minute. They got a running back.
Yep.
They got some toys at receiver.
Got no line
more. Help build that line back up. Yeah. He can help build that line back up. You look at, and on the defensive side, the defense just has to get stronger. You look at the quarterback, if Dak Prescott comes back, he's not going to ask him to throw the ball 50 times a game. He's going to ask him to do what he needs to do to win, which is run the football. Hopefully the defense is better, and make the necessary throws that you need to make to win.
He'll bring toughness with him, no doubt.
Yes.
But I like our conversation before the show started. You talk about David Shaw. Now, me and David Shaw had the same agent. Me and David Shaw. David Shaw is with us in Baltimore. Stanford head coach. He has the temperament, I think, to maybe take that leap. The problem is he has his dream job. He loves that job. He knows he can make $4 or $5 million, make sure the graduation rate is up, and
good.
It's safe.
But I win 8 games a year. I'm good.
But at some point, that as a competitor, we all want to know. Every college coach want to know if he can coach in the NFL.
Point.
I think he's the guy that you try and lure out
college ranks. He's one.
Because he's been in the pros, though, as well.
No,
people don't realize
he
spent a lot of time in the pros.
Oh,
people just don't realize he was a receivers coach, quarterbacks coach. And in that standpoint, he's a guy I felt that have benefited from being able to play and coach, at a pro type of in a big time conference that can make that transition and won't burn your organization up.
Much like the owners that really want to win, and I know Jerry has three, but those three so long ago, whether it's the Johnson family at the Jets, they want to win. They want to talk in West Palm Beach at the owner meetings and talk about the experience of having
the big boy table.
Yeah, sit at the big boy table and have the party, the after party, and talk about those things. A guy like Harbaugh didn't win a championship in the NFL. He didn't win a Super Bowl. He got him there.
Real close.
Real close. A Crabtree touchdown away.
Lights went out, right?
Lights went out. I think you might have been a part of that.
No, I wish I was.
Oh, that's right. You was already gone. Huh? You took the money and ran. Oh, well. I wonder why that Baltimore got better that time. But anyway.
Oh, that hurt.
I gave you the shout out, Keith. So when you look at Harbaugh, his deal is not finished either. So he wants to be able to say, I can coach in the pros. I got him to the Super Bowl. I can win. I mean, whether it's Atlanta, whether I don't know if Jacksonville still has a head coach, but whether it becomes a Jacksonville, whatever it is, I think he should come back to the NFL because he is an NFL coach.
I think Greg Roman is going to have a lot to say about what happens. You know what I mean? Because Greg Roman was with Kaepernick, and he helped devise that offense for him as well. And it's about time for him to come from behind, you know, the shadows of the coordinator world and maybe get an opportunity to be a head coach and be a leader somewhere.
We should mention Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator right now of the Baltimore Ravens. From the NFL to the NHL, and if you are a puckhead and you love hockey.
Like Key.
Closet like Kings Bart. Fan. Red Wings, you're a Detroit
Absolutely.
Guy, man. It's a
Red
Wings.
Steve Yzerman, the greatest captain of all time.
Stevie Sports Y. History. Listen to this call and savor it, because after hearing this, we're never going to hear these dulcet tones again.
Again, the trigger pulled a shot that went wide that time was Goodrow. And the Tampa Bay Lightning have won the Stanley Cup.
That was the legendary Doc Emmerich on NBC with the Lightning winning in the double bubble. And just a few days ago, the voice of hockey on the national scene for 30 plus and starting calling the NHL nearly 40 years ago to so many people. If you're not a hockey fan, think about if you're of age, John Madden, Pat Summerall, that was your football soundtrack. Marv Albert, that was your NBA soundtrack. This guy, for hockey fans everywhere, he was their soundtrack. Mike Emmerich joins us this morning on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, announced his retirement earlier this week, and hockey's got a huge, huge hole to fill. Mike called 22 Stanley Cup Finals. Mike, first thing, thanks for joining us this morning. I guess the first thing most people are wondering is, much like Al Michaels and elderly broadcasters, guys that have done it forever, there's zero drop-off in your performance. You're as good as you've ever been, so why hang it up?
Oh, it was just people that have retired that I sit around and have coffee with tell me someday you'll know when it's time. And I looked back over 50 years from the first time that I walked into a press room and started covering NHL games, and it seemed like a good round number. And then 40 years of calling play-by-play of National Hockey League games. And it was sometime during the playoff run this year when NBC was protecting me because my birth certificate told them that I had a few boxes to check off and my cancer history as well. They created a studio for me at home, and I was able to do play-by-play through fiber optics and everything else and not have that satellite delay that so often accompanies these things. I was able to do it entirely at home. And I thought, sometime during this whole process, you know, it's been 50 years and I have my health, thanks to them, and my wife has her health. We've been married for 42 years. We have our kids are our pups, and we love them dearly, and much of the work that we do here involves animal causes, and we have horses, some of which are rescues. And this is the time of year when the leaves are turning, and this sounds prosaic, but it just seemed like that the time was right to enjoy this time in our lives when we can. So this was the time to do it. And I have no other backstory or no other explanation than that. And just to translate, this is an honor for me to be on the show with a Rutgers guy and with Bart and with a Super Bowl winner. And just to swing back, I hope you don't mind, to the NFL for a moment. I got to do in my, you know, going back this 50 years, 7 NFL games. Unfortunately, it was not timed at a time when Keyshawn was playing. But it was in 92 and 93, I got to work 2 games with Matt Millen, 5 games with Hank Stram on CBS. And in with the 2 games with Matt Millen was the first time that Brett Favre ever wore a Packer uniform, dropped back, and threw a pass and completed it to himself.
Well,
it's on YouTube. It was against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it ricocheted off one of the Buccaneers who was rushing. He caught it for a slight loss, but it was a completion, and it was his first pass as a Packer. So that's the only legacy that I have in my 7 games in the NFL. But I was made better by the people that I got to work with, even in other sports.
You know, Doc, I can't say congratulations. I don't even know what to say. 50 years of doing it, I hope and pray that I could even get to 13, 14 years of doing it. let alone 50 years and being so great and a big voice in many things and many events. But this is what I want to ask you. You've been the voice of so many iconic moments on the ice. What would be your favorite and most memorable call?
I don't know that I have one, Keyshawn, but I think, you know, Olympics draw the attention of a lot of people that don't follow hockey. And so we're always told by our bosses to really broaden the scope when we get to Olympic Games. And so there are a couple that stand out in my mind, and perhaps those, you and those with you, will remember. The gold medal game in Vancouver in 2010, which was just before the closing ceremony of that Olympics, and it was the best I think our sport has to offer, because we had two North American teams, the United States and Canada, the best professionals possible playing, and it was the best of our sport in that it was the last minute of the game, the goaltender was pulled, the net at one end was empty, the U.S. was trailing, and Zach Parise scored. And it was forced into overtime, and then Sidney Crosby won for Canada shortly after the overtime started. And it was just the best of our sport. And then there was 4 years later in Sochi, in the preliminary round, it was the United States against Russia. And T.J. Oshie, who now plays for the Washington Capitals, the game went into overtime and then into a shootout. And it went into eight rounds of a shootout. And T.J. Oshie, because of the international rules, it allows you to just keep taking shots if you're very good at it. And the coach said, you just keep going. Well, he took six shootout shots, and he scored on four of them, including the clincher. And because it was a morning game, I think a lot of people got to see that. And it wound up becoming the thing of legend. And 2 weeks later, when he got back to the States, he was back playing for his team at the time, the St. Louis Blues. And I asked him, was that the best thing that ever happened to you in your life? Because there was so much acclaim paid to him because he was the show. And he said, no, about a week after I got back home, my wife gave birth to our first child, and I got to see that. And that was awesome. Mm. So those are two things that stand out in my mind when you ask a question like that. Those are memorable things from Olympic Games because more people watch that. I think 27 million people saw that gold medal game in Vancouver.
Hey, Mike, I just want to congratulate you on a job well done. You know, sometimes when we're, you know, working on trying to be the best version of ourselves that we can be, it's hard to connect the dots looking forward. But as you look back and you look at, you know, some of your biggest influences of who helped you develop your style and your voice, how do you feel when you think about that you were the voice of a generation and that, you know, you had the responsibility to, you know, paint pictures with your words to try and encapsulate some of the greatest moments in sports history?
I just count myself as lucky to have been healthy enough to do that all those years. And I think anyone who has had, as I did 29 years ago, a cancer scare, you, or any other sort of cataclysmic event in their life, whether it's a automobile accident or anything else like that, you realize that this has changed your life and made you appreciate something more, especially if you're able to bounce back to normalcy. And maybe all of us are going to find, if we ever get back to something that resembles what we had before, even though there may be changes that we will never, there may be things that will never get back to the way they once were. At least maybe we'll be able to enjoy each other's company more somewhere down the road. But anything that changes you like that gives you a greater appreciation. And I think that probably did for me. And in answer to your question, I never evaluated what role I was having in broadcasting or what effect I was having. The one thing that I always tried to do was realize that I was never going to be around forever. And one thing that people did for me when I was young was they were very good at giving me an opinion of my work if I asked for it. And so I always have solicited free for nothing and it's just one man's opinion. Any young broadcasters that want to send me their work, I have given them my email address and send it to me, and I'll listen to it. Usually I do that in August every year, and last year I think I went through about 40. And listening to mostly hockey broadcasts, but in some cases football and basketball, and do for them what was done for me when I was that age by other people that had more experience, and that's try to pay it forward. So I don't know what effect I might have on younger people, but I try to at least offer an opinion if they want one. And usually it's with encouragement, but what I've also found is that this is a wonderful way to make a living, and I encourage others to get in it because, number one, and Zubin, you know this, I mean, having called basketball at Rutgers, number one, you get in free. And number two, you get a good seat for the game. And number three, you get to work with world-class athletes, and you've got some sitting there. And number four, I learned later in life after I had been in the minors for a while, they send you something in the mail twice a month, and maybe it's an automatic deposit now. And it's a marvelous way to go through life, and I've been very blessed and very lucky. So that's a long, long-winded answer to your question, and I know you have other guests coming up, so I'm sorry that it went so long.
You're
worth it.
I'm sorry we couldn't do it longer. He's
Cancel
a hockey
commercials.
Hall of Famer, a hockey broadcaster, and lastly, we should mention an author. His book, Off Mic, How a Kid from Basketball Crazy Indiana Became America's NHL Voice, is available right now. Enjoy your retirement. You have earned it. It's hockey's loss, but your gain. Thank you, Doc.
Thanks, Zubin, Bart, and Keyshawn.
All right, Doc.
How great is that guy, huh?
It's good. We try to get maybe one more period out of him, you know, next year during the playoffs, just one, right. One period. Because it's like retiring from football. That first year, you still have that itch. If you get through the season,
right,
then you pretty much are done with retirement. But you retired and you say to yourself, yeah, you start watching it, you start feeling it at times. September rolls around, October. Now you start thinking about playing again. He'll think about calling one period at least. I mean, we've been trying to get Vince Scully to do it for years, right, with Dodger baseball. Just one. Well, give us one inning.
And if you're a baseball fan, not a hockey fan, Emmerich's right up there with the legendary guys like Scully. Still to come, Keyshawn talking about coming back, playing again. The Big Ten is ready to do just that. We'll be joined by one of the greatest players in his school's history that's now his school's head coach and is ready for a season unlike any other. This weekend, next on ESPN Radio and smart speakers everywhere.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Those the words of Mike Locksley, the head coach at the University of Maryland. He joined our program on Monday. Kevin Warren is the Big Ten commissioner, and of course he was talking about playing a football season unlike any other in a pandemic. Better late than never for the Big Ten, the first Power 5 league to postpone, then changing their mind in August. And here we go Friday night with Illinois and Wisconsin. We got a couple of big games on Saturday, too. A reminder, we're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all of our guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including who many people think is one of the best coaches in America, Northwestern's Pat Fitzgerald, is a tremendous player for the Wildcats, now their head coach. He will take on Mike Locksley and the Maryland Terrapins on Saturday in Evanston, and he joins us this morning. Coach, we heard Mike Locksley and everything that he said about trying to get ready to play a season like this. Take us inside your squad. You're a private school in a league full of public schools. You got smaller enrollment. Your situation is so different than many other Big Ten schools. How have you navigated all of this as we get ready for your first game Saturday?
Well, good morning, man. It's great to be on with you and awesome to talk Big Ten football. It's been a challenge, I think, for all of us. But first and foremost, I want to thank all of those that are on the front lines helping keeping us healthy and safe. And I want to start with our medical team here. You know, Dr. Jeff Mianis and Kevin Kikagawa, our head athletic trainer, both their staffs, our entire Northwestern health community. It's been a team effort. And then our players and their families and our staff and their families. To navigate through this, to get to this point, and just appreciate what everything the Big Ten has done. And now it's time for us to go out and do what we love to do. That's to compete and coach and play the game that we also absolutely love. So excited for this weekend.
I don't know how to address you, if I should say Coach, Pat, Fitzy. I mean, it's a – right?
What's up, buddy? How are you, man?
How you doing, man? You good?
25 years ago, we were at the Rose Bowl, man.
No, I know. That's why I was telling the guys beforehand. It's just, I'm like, how do I address him? Do I address him as coach? You know, or do I say Pat or Fitzy? I'm going to call you coach for now because that is your profession right now. So, Coach Pat, how do you believe that the conference as a whole has handled this uncertainty about getting back on the field? Now you guys are back.
Yeah, well, I appreciate Kevin Warren and all the athletic directors and presidents and chancellors. You know, they took the path less traveled. You know, they made a decision that was all based on what we could do from a health and safety standpoint to make sure when we were going to play. I mean, again, when you think back to when we postponed the season, it wasn't that we canceled it. We postponed it, hopefully to get rapid antigen testing and then to be able to have that happen. You know, we've had thousands of tests now throughout the league. You know, we get tested every day and, you know, the guys understand that we're in quote unquote a pseudo bubble. So, you know, this was all organized by the medical teams. I mean, Dr. Borchers at Ohio State, and his team, his subcommittee of medical experts, have really been driving the bus here on all the decisions, so to speak. And, you know, as coaches, we just appreciate the opportunity to have dialogue and communication. I know there was a lot of negativity, fair or unfair, that is what it is when you're in a conference like ours. But the priority was health and safety for everyone involved. And now to have the opportunity to get out and compete, I know we're all really excited about it.
Northwestern head football coach Pat Fitzgerald joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. How have your players handled the situation?
It's been a roller coaster, Key. I mean, you know, we got back after, you know, having the we were 8 practices in the spring ball, went on spring break, and we thought this would be a couple week, you know, hey, we're going to start the spring quarter. We'll figure out how we'll get the guys back going in spring ball. And then we don't really get back onto campus until, you know, the summertime. Guys were excited to be back. And then, you know, we're getting ready to start practices. We get 2 helmets practices in. We're about ready to go to day 3 of the acclimation. And, you know, things get shut down. And so it just was a roller coaster of emotions. You know, we tried to give our guys space, tried to provide them the mental health that they needed, try to just over-communicate as coaches, never doing a good enough job. As you know, you try to do the best job you can, but you never do a good enough job. And just trying to stick together as a family. And I'm just really proud of our guys. It's been a roller coaster. I know how excited I don't want to speak for the other 13 head coaches of the 13 teams, but I'm sure they're like we are here. You've watched the other teams compete every week. You've just kind of been watching the sand run out of the hourglass, waiting until we kick it off this weekend. And now to have us, be 3 days out from game day, you know, it's really, really exciting.
Given the current climate, how important has it been to really focus and emphasize on the back of your back part of your roster, understanding that at any time you could lose a lot of players to the virus? And, you know, with that being said, you know, what considerations have you been, you know, thinking about as far as being able to have to take red shirts away from guys because you just need the bodies in case worst case scenario happens?
Well, the good news is that the NCAA gave us the opportunity from a student athlete standpoint to have everybody have this year not count for a season of their eligibility. So, you know, so that's great news. So it's all hands on deck. You know, Key, we're getting old, man. I'm going gray, but I'm going to be really gray by about week 6. start seeing some of these young puppies out there. And, you know, we've got some players like everybody across the country that, you know, were the best players at their high school. And maybe from their entire career playing football, they never covered a kick. They were never on the punt return team. You know, they were never on the punt team. So you're just spending a ton of time on the attention to detail, the little fundamentals, but more importantly, not overloading guys mentally so they can go play fast and cut it loose and just trust themselves, trust their training, and go have fun. And, you know, every team will be better in the Big Ten probably mid-November than we are this weekend. But at the same time, I know all of our guys are stoked up to play. And, you know, nobody goes to college to want a redshirt. They all want to go to play. So it should be exciting. Our fans, and I think Big Ten fans across, you know, this great nation are going to see a lot of names and have to look at rosters like, what? Who's this kid? What's this guy's name? And it should be a lot of fun on game day.
Scanning right. Those 85. Great stuff. They will play Maryland on Saturday. If you can't wait for the Big Ten, you got Illinois and Wisconsin on Friday. College game day for Michigan and Minnesota. The Big Ten is back, and so is one of the best coaches in all of college football. Pat, thanks for joining us this morning.
Go get that W, Fitzy.
Hey, appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you guys. Stay healthy and safe to all of our great Cat fans throughout the country. Go Cats and stay healthy. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. That's Pat Fitzgerald. Want to remind you that it's already hit the coaching ranks. What's that?
What am I going to call you? Like Pat Fitzy, Coach? Coach Pat? I mean,
it was funny because, you know, Anthony Weaver at the end of my career, Mike Smith, who was my backup in Baltimore, became my coach. It's like, man, if you don't get the hell out of here, man, how about go get my donuts?
No, I had this happen to me before we move on real quick in college. So Delvon Alexander, who's a receiver coach at Notre Dame now, was a player with me at USC. Yeah. But he was my backup my junior year. Right. He became my coach my senior year. Huh. I'm like, man, I'm not calling you no coach. Yeah, man, you don't get the hell out of here. Coach.
One other thing we should quickly mention, COVID has already hit the coaching fraternity, not Coach Fitzgerald, but Purdue's coach, Jeff Brohm. They're playing Iowa this weekend. Mm. He's got COVID-19. He's going to miss the game this weekend. The first game of the season, his brother is actually on the coaching staff.
He can't pull a Saban?
Not in the Big Ten.
I don't think the Saban pulled anything. He went with the rules, man.
give me three tests right now. 1, 2, 3, I'm done.
And they were all negative. Ah, but just a reminder, Purdue's head coach won't be there. So it's a condition that the 20%. League is certainly going to have to deal with. Key and Pat, USC and Northwestern in the Rose Bowl, nearly 25.
I should have said, man, what it looked like. Never mind.
Looking up at my jersey as I'm heading to the end zone. He was a linebacker. He was an offensive threat, as many of you know. Still to come. Game 2 of the World Series is tonight. Everyone's gushing about Clayton Kershaw this morning, but Key said the key to last night was one of the bats. We'll get his thoughts on this.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Tomorrow becomes today, because that was the words of Clayton Kershaw last night. You also heard our ESPN baseball historian, Tim Kirkjian, say, that's the best I've seen this dude throw in 3 years. That dude, of course, is Clayton Kershaw. The Dodgers are up 1-0 in the World Series. Game 2 tonight on ESPN Radio. It's presented by AutoZone. Catch all the action. Again, 7:30 Eastern pregame coverage on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. For all the talk about Kershaw, Key said Mookie Betts has played just as big of a role. Key's going to get into that with our next guest in just a moment. It's a pleasure to have Jessica Mendoza join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. She was on the call last night. We were joking around with Tyler Glasnow and the glass shattering for the Rays, but Jess has shattered some glass too, becoming the first woman to ever serve as a National World Series game analyst on any platform, and she's doing it for however long the World Series lasts on ESPN Radio. Good morning. What do you make of what happened with Kershaw last night?
You know, just him getting through that first inning. I mean, you kind of felt the Rays hitters working the at-bats. He wasn't landing his slider, and you're kind of getting nervous because, of course, as we all know, the narrative in and around Clayton Kershaw as the greatest of this generation, but his postseason numbers speak so highly. And then after that first inning, I mean, let me just throw out, first of all, the swing and miss that he had. 38 swings on his pitches, 19 of them were misses. 50% swing and miss has never happened in the history of the game to have a starter have a 50% swing and miss. He's never had it in the history of his career. Just shows you what he did after that first inning to keep those Rays batters from off the bases and from scoring any kind of runs.
Yeah, and we talked about it a week ago, Jessica, about giving him some offensive bats to help him out. They got him the 2-0 lead, but then in the fifth inning, obviously, we exploded. Do you think that calmed him down some?
I love the we. I love it, Key. Like, just like these, like, this is your team. Absolutely. I mean, I think once they went 8 runs and being able to explode in that fifth inning just allowed Clayton to be able to just like hone in. I mean, his slider was sick. Him being able to backdoor to righties, you know, backfoot it, being able to get, like I said, the swing and miss. But you're right. Like, I think just knowing, like, okay, this isn't 2-1. And one other thing, Key, for you, like, you know this, but like, he's not the dude anymore. He knows that. It's not all about him. The game doesn't just rest on his shoulders.
When you look at yesterday, aside from the decision by Cash with Tyler Glasnow and letting him go in 112 pitches and having that happen to them, what else derailed the Rays yesterday?
Mookie Betts. I mean, just flat out, like, Mookie Betts getting that walk, stealing second, by the way, when Mike Zunino, the catcher, like, went to throw and Mookie already had the base stolen, and then he steals third base. Like, if you're watching baseball the last 5 years, you don't see a stolen base anymore. Like, no one does it. And he stole straight up 2 bases and then pretty much stole home plate on the weak ground ball that he got this jump on, like he was going like it was a squeeze play. And I think for that, there was nothing that the Rays did. They didn't give up big hits. In fact, it was weak contact, but Mookie Betts himself went home to home without even giving up a big hit.
Stars are made in October, and Mookie's not, you know, he's not new to the national scene. He's already a champion. But as far as the game moving forward, how can Mookie and his personality maybe, you know, start to become the face of baseball? We know that, you know, now, you know, Mike Trout has always been considered the best player, and I know Keyshawn has something to say about that as well. But you think about Tatis, Acuna, you know, maybe guys with more personality being able to sell the game to a more casual fan.
I mean, Mookie Betts, to me, should be the face. And there's so many, you mentioned it, young talent out there. I mean, just watching Fernando Tatis Jr. in general, just like throw the ball to first base and it's like, whoa, like it just stops you and blows you away. But Mookie's like everything, whether it's like jumping up over the fence, robbing home runs, the fist pumps. And, you know, I've gotten to know him really well over the last few years. And like, he is such a like down the earth. I mean, this is a guy who was like a bowler. I mean, like bowling, like, I don't even know like what you say, like champion, like all the things that his background is so unique, so different, and he's super just like chill. I mean, you just watch him in the dugout, he's like playing pranks and sticking his head in between coaches, like just towel around his head. Like, I mean, there's a lot there. He might not be the like 6'4" like giant, but he is a personality, and I'm telling you what, if you don't know him now, this name is going to be the biggest one going forward.
Jessica, Cody Bellinger, after struggling during the regular season, hit 2 straight homers in back-to-back games, and so kind of getting out of that funk even in the playoffs, so to speak. Betts is playing as well too, as we talked about. Which one of the two are more important to the Dodgers' success?
That's a really good question. I mean, Mookie is their best player. I mean, we just talked about he's one of the best, if not the best, in all of baseball. But I would actually say Cody Bellinger is more important. And the reason is, and meaning like Mookie will do Mookie, like even if he's not hitting, we've seen what he can do with the glove, like all the different things. But Cody, you got to remember, they moved him down to that sixth spot. And for all the guys that they have, the names, the Corey Seegers, like all the stuff that they can do, that six hole has proven to be such a key cog for them to be able to get the runs that end up mattering. So Mookie Betts, yes, for all that he's important. I think Cody Bellinger, though, is the key if they want to win the series.
Let me ask you this before we let you get out of here, Jessica. And Bart kind of brought it up a little bit. And this is fascinating because I always wonder, when you got a guy like Mookie Betts as is doing what he's doing for his teams, and look, there's bats around him in places that protect him and all those sort of things and been on good teams. Then you got a guy like Trout. But people tell me, and you can explain it to me, they say Trout is so much better than Mookie Betts, and I don't see it. It looks the same to me.
Well, I mean, Trout is a different kind of good. Like, I mean, he's ridiculous. He's got the five tools. You'll see him just, like, consistently do it every single time. Like, he is. There's a reason why he's been given the name the best player in the game. Problem is, he can't do it in the postseason. And at the end of the day, like, when you look back at legacy, when you look back at the greatest, it's about championships. It's about really, and especially for baseball, a whole lot of people don't watch during the regular season. But during the postseason, right now in the World Series, like, no one knows who Mike Trout is besides the name. They don't get to see him showcase the real talents. But you see Mookie Betts. So that in itself is going to allow Mookie, just from the top of, like, tip of people's tongue, like, who's the best player? Mookie Betts' name is going to come out because they're seeing him in the most important time of the season.
That's a great point. Mike Trout's been to the playoffs one time in his illustrious career, and they lost that series. Jess, we'll look forward to you, Dan Schulman, Chris Singleton. Tonight, pregame coverage, 7:30. Eastern.
Let's go Dodgers!
On ESPN Radio. Jess, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Clayton Kershaw is a 3-time Cy Young Award winner and the 2014 NL MVP, and he's looking for his first World Series championship, as you know. This player resume brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. And Jess was right. She wasn't joking around about the bowler. He was like one of the best bowlers in the state of Tennessee. He's a kid that grew up in Tennessee and was good at every single sport he picked up, including bowling. Still to come, Bart called the Cowboys soft, dumb, cowards, and front runners.
I said all that?
Said all that. Jeez. What does Key think about him? We'll talk about it.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.